from PRX.
Friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, rollers everywhere, whether you're a dice roller or a hair roller, or you roll, like you like to say, roll over Beethoven, or your dog named Beethoven, and you're rolling over, or Red Rover, hey, Red Rover, roll over. Is that how it goes? You know, I never got picked in that game, but it's not important because that may have guided me to create this podcast to sleep with me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. Hey, everybody, before we get started here, Sleep With Me exists from a place of empathy and compassion, of saying I'm going to be here for you to keep you company so that you can fall asleep. And when I say that as a part of multiple communities, and there's a lot of communities and members of our communities that need support right now. And there's links to resources, whether you need extra support right now or you want to be a part of positive change and say Black Lives Matter with your actions, say Stop AAPI Hate with your actions, or just learn more. There's links to resources you could connect with in our show notes because you're a part of this community, okay? So make sure to check out the show notes in your podcast app of choice. And here's the sponsors who enable me to be here for you free twice a week. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and I actually need you to listen to this message. If you're a regular listener, Sleep With Me. If you're new, don't worry about it. But we've got some big decisions with the show on the horizon, so I really, really need your help. If you are a regular listener, Sleep With Me, and it has changed how you sleep, you rely on the show, you like the show, it does something for you, or you feel good about the podcast, you like it, or you count on it, I really got to ask you to take action. So if Sleep With Me means something to you or you like it, if you can afford to support the show directly or you're willing to consider up giving up one takeout lunch a month to support Sleep With Me, try out a trial of Sleep With Me Plus and test out Sleep With Me Plus over the 7-day trial and just see what you think. But I think you'll find you'll be blown away because there's so many different ways to listen to Sleep With Me and stuff like that. So if you think you can afford to support the show, please do that at Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And if it doesn't make a difference to you, like it's like I can move on to something else if you stop making the show, or you decide to put out way less episodes, or you change what you're doing, I totally am fine with that. That's fine. But if Sleep With Me really does make a difference for you, I mean, I love making the show. I don't like being direct because I usually get way more not nice emails when I'm direct about stuff. But I don't want to put out a message like 3 months from now and be like, you know what, we're changing things up and we've made some hard decisions. I want you to be a part of this decision-making process because it's really like the other time Sleep With Me's been in this place. It's just taken being direct and saying, hey, if you care about the show, I need you to think about doing something about it. So think about it. It'll be cool. Like I trust that there's enough of you out there that get so much out of the show because I've heard from you before. So yeah, check out sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus or take one of those other actions. And what do you say we get on with the show? All right, everybody, it's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone, the one part of the podcast I need you to hear. It's where I thank the listeners who supported the sponsors, let the sponsors know about it, let me know about it, so the podcast will be here for free twice a week. And right now, I'm recruiting people for the Sleepy Supporter Zone, and I'm looking for everybody that got an Air Doctor. So if you got an Air Doctor, you supported Air Doctor, you used our code, you used our link, you let Air Doctor know about it on social media, or you gave him a call, you sent him an email, and then you let me know about it. Fill out the form at sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. Not only will I thank you here on the Sleepy Supporter Zone, I'll send you out some stickers when you fill out that form. So sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. If you supported Air Doctor, let me know about it. Let them know about it so they know their partnership with Sleep With Me is valuable. That's how we keep the sponsors. So thank you, everybody who does that on a regular basis. The second part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone is you get getting the support you need. If you need extra resources right now, there's links to resources you can use right in the show notes. And it's about being a part of all the communities we're already a part of. Saying Black Lives Matter with our actions. Saying Stop AAPI Hate with our actions. So there's links to organizations that you could support or learn more in the show notes. And one of the organizations I support is the NAPAWF, the National Asian Pacific American Women's Forum. You could support them. You could find out more. You could sign their petition. You could take action at NAPAWF.org. And that is the end of the Sleepy Supporter Zone, which is now over. Oh, Mystery Bard, a lot of people help out on this show. Who are they?
Chris Posty Poster Song.
Sounds like a near fall.
Wrote the theme song.
Edits episodes too.
Carl W. The Lecture.
Also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer.
Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the Mystery Bar.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
I'll write a song for you.
Any reason at all.
You can tell me the story, yeah.
Personal.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com.
And we're so proud. Lois and I like banana. Leah does the transcripts.
Thanks, Mr. Bard. The best way to keep in touch with your show, find out updates, is our newsletter, sleepwithmepodcast.com/newsletter. And what do you say we slow it down and get on with the show? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. And what I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever is keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, you know, things you're thinking about on your mind, So, past, present, or future thoughts. Thoughts of physical sensations. So, anything coming up for your body, or feelings, anything emotionally coming up for you. Whatever it is that's keeping me awake. It could be changes in schedule. Like, when I'm recording this, not to do TMI, but oh boy, am I having one of those weeks, and it's a week leading up to springing forward. Hopefully you'll be hearing this in the summertime or something, but I do not want to spring ahead because my sprung is already, like, I don't know if it, my springs do not have any tensile strength anymore, but I roll with it. I mean, the one thing I learned by making this show is, hey, take it easy. Okay, can't fall asleep, eh? Okay, what can we do? Can we stay calm? That's always the first question I ask myself. Can we take a breath here? Can we rest? Should we change it up? Should we get out of bed? Anyway, enough about me, because really, whatever's keeping you awake is why I'm here right now. I can relate to what's keeping... I mean, that's what my main point about that. But whatever's keeping awake, I'd like to take your mind off of that. What I'm going to do is try to create a safe place here, where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's, I already said that. Then I'll send my voice across the deep, dark night, and I'll use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones. Oh, so creaky are my dulcet tones. Just another sign of my imperfection. You say, how do you know that, like, how do you judge the fallibility of a sleep podcaster? You say, well, I guess creaky scale, Scoots is on he's on the creaky side of dulcet. I think he wrote, that was one of the many books he never wrote, multiple times. And that's how he also got banned from Waffle House. Really, he got banned from Waffle House. Yeah, he started ordering his eggs on the creaky side of dulcet. And they said, what? And he said, yeah, I'll take mags down the creaky side of Dulcet. And it actually caused like a backup on everybody's order because they said, I think this young man's serious. And then they went back and they had a conference. Then they called the corporate office and, on the waffle phone, which is only for, Waffle House emergencies, which in this case is breakfast related. And they said, corporate HQ, what's going on? And they said, we got somebody here with an order that's incomprehensible. And they said, inconceivable? And they said, well, not inconceivable. I guess we can't comprehend it, so we don't know if we can conceive it. And they said, well, what kind of waffle did this young person order? And they said, well, young person was just a polite way. He was describe himself in the third person, but he ordered he didn't order waffle. I said, okay. Really? Went to Waffle House, he didn't order waffles. And I said, well, yeah, I mean, of course. Okay, what did he order? He ordered his eggs on a creaky side of Dulcet, and he just said it, and then he said it again. And we said, that's how you want your eggs? He said, yeah. And we didn't ask him to elaborate because he was so confident. So we're just wondering if you have anything in the big WH database, in the history of the WH, any of the old cookbooks or corporate secret, vaults, anything on a creaky side of Dulcet with as far as an order goes. Has it never happened before? I'll tell you what. As a matter of fact, I can't get into the history of the belief systems of the Waffle House, but I can tell you that this was predicted. One day I was out on a hike and I came across a cabin and I got to get to the point, but the person in the cabin told me, one day you'll get an order from a restaurant. One day you'll be working in Waffle House HQ. You'll get an order that makes no sense at all. And, don't bother with it. Just tell him to order something else. Okay, we'll do that. Tell him tell the customer he's not actually in a Waffle House and he's not actually ordering breakfast. He's supposed to be starting the intro to a sleep podcast. Is that what the person in the cabin told you? Yes, it was a wise woman and she told me to tell him to get back to the intro. Okay, sorry, everybody. It drifted off there. Whatever's keeping you awake, I'd like to take your mind off that. Send my voice, creaky dulcet tones, pointless meanders, and superfluous tangents. I think we just got a dose of that. So I'm going to go off topic to keep you company while you fall asleep. But the thing is, a couple things about this show. One is, it doesn't really put you to sleep. I'm more here to keep you company while you fall asleep. That's why the episodes are over an hour, so you have plenty of time to drift off. And even if you can't sleep, I'll be here. I'll be here to the very end. So just kind of see how it goes. And so that's one thing. The other thing is, this is a podcast you really don't listen to. It's more of a podcast you barely pay attention to. Kind of like that whole thing you may have been listening. You say, what is this? Is this a thought experiment? Is there any belief systems based on Waffle House? I would say 100% guaranteed. Everybody deserves a good breakfast. And a good breakfast every day makes everything go pretty good for, Waffle House's way if you eat there. And, many other things. So it's a podcast you kind of just barely pay attention to. So don't really listen. You don't like, you kind of just like you say, what is he babbling about? And it, you might be new, you might say that, and you say, oh. And then if you become a regular listener, you say, what's Scoots babbling about? And then if you become like a super fan, you say, huh, what's Scoots babbling about? Waffle House, I might barely listen to this one. So those are two things that for new listeners, you got to get used to. And that's totally normal because, I would be skeptical if I tuned into this podcast and listened to it for the first three or four times for sure. then I would be more skeptical about, you'd say, oh, yes, like you got to view Scoots with some skepticism, but some sort of positive version of that, where you say, I'm skeptical it'll ever make any sense. And also, I wonder if the Waffle House really does have a waffle phone, or at least they might have one at HQ. So those are a couple of things. And the other thing, if you're new, that can throw you off is the structure of the show. So show starts off, it's a very unique structure because it's a very unique podcast, but everything kind of serves a purpose. So show starts off with a greeting, friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. So you feel welcome and seen. Then there's business, and so there's the listener support, then there's the sponsors that support the show. So there's some resources for listeners, and then there's how we keep the podcast free. And so those, that's the next part. Then there's an intro. That's where it really steers, like, the intro is around 12 to 20 minutes long of me explaining the podcast. And so at first it could seem onerous. You say, what do you mean? Like, I got to sit through all this? They say, well, no, it's kind of, it serves a purpose. The show's designed in a way. And it's definitely not for everybody, but that's why you got to give a few tries. Like, the intro is meant to introduce a new listener to the podcast, but it has new nonsense every single time so that the regular listener, like, so you can't adjust. Like, whatever part of you is keeping you awake, you can't get used to it and say, well, I know, you get people say, well, I know Scoots is going to talk about, is he going to imagine he's at a Waffle House tonight again? And like that may happen once every 333 episodes or something, but not much more often than that. But the intro also serves as a wind down for most listeners, not for every listener, I understand. But as you get used to the show, the majority of listeners start listening as they're easing into bedtime, whether that's getting ready for bed or relaxing or getting in bed and getting comfortable, versus this show is just not designed to put you to sleep instantly. For some people it does, but not the majority of listeners. And that's great if it puts you to sleep instantly. But so it's meant to kind of ease you as a part of your bedtime routine. So you could be doing some other calming stuff. You could also adjust, like 3% of listeners skip the beginning of the show and they start the show around 20 minutes. I just heard from a reviewer who said they start the show at 30 minutes and then they set a 30-minute timer. And that's a unique way to listen. And if that works for them, so you could kind of see what works for you. I mean, if you like to listen all night or you like something like, you know, being a patron's always an option, but there's a lot of ways people adjust the show too that works for them with the free show. But so the intro eases you into bedtime. Then it'll be, then there's business. Then it's our episodically modular story, A Journey into Land of Tomorrow, that you can listen to in any order. This happens to be like a recap, look back episode. So a great way to start it out or finish it or just fall asleep to it. And then there's the thank yous at the end. So that's the structure of the show. And the reason I make the show is because I've been there. Last night, every other night over the past while, I've been there. Trouble getting to sleep, oh boy, big time. And then trouble staying asleep, big time. So I know how it feels. You can probably hear it in my voice. And I say, okay, well, let's just give it another try tonight. So I know how it feels out there. And like even today, I say, man, I'm more vulnerable, I feel like, emotionally or mentally when I don't get enough sleep. I can't flourish or even be, you know what I mean? And so if I can help you with that, while this show does not work for everybody, I really hope it can help you because you deserve a good night's sleep and you deserve rest. I mean, just like I say to myself, it's like, okay, it's not happening right now, but we'll get through it. And we'll just take it one day at a time and we'll see it. You know, we'll try to do our routine again tonight and see if that works. And so I hope sleeping could be part of your bedtime routine and help you get to sleep. It really would be my honor. I work really hard on this show. I yearn and I strive, and I really hope I can help you fall asleep. Thanks. All right, buddy, this is Scoots here. If you're new, you don't have to listen to this or worry about it. But if you're a regular listener, maybe you had the same experience I had when I tried to make the show, which was like, how come there's not something out there that sees how I'm feeling in the deep, dark night? And so I decided to make Sleep With Me because I said, is anybody else feeling this loneliness, this inability to turn off, that needs a distraction and a friend, that needs a podcast that puts you to sleep? And so I made Sleep With Me. And the reason we asked for support for the show, whether it's supporting the sponsors or supporting the show directly on Sleep With Me Plus, is because it's over 120 hours per week of work goes into the show right now. And in the past, I did as much of that as I could myself, and that was never sustainable, right? So if you do count on it, supporting it, just make sure it'll be there for you. So your action kind of, you know, make sure Sleep With Me will be there for you, but a lot of other people too. Kind of cool bonus. And if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, you get everything organized in the way you want to listen. You get story-only episodes. At certain tiers, you get all intro episodes. You get all-night, extra-long compilations. You get bonus shows and exclusives that might not fit in this main feed, and you get ad-free full episodes, of course. But you also get that peace of mind and that joy of participating in something. I don't know, you say, wow, I'm glad this is in the world because I needed it. So if any of that appeals to you, think about supporting the show at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. But thanks, and those of you that are hearing this have supported the show in the past, thanks a lot, because the show's here because of you. And this isn't, you know, I know not everybody's in a position to support the show, so I totally understand that too, and that's a great thing again for the people that do. There's people that would love to support the show but they can't, or there's people that would love to support the show but they're just kind of stuck or whatever. So your support supports the show for them too, so thank you so much. All right, everybody, this is Scoots here, and this is our normally our look back episode, where we're looking back at the series we did, Journey into the Land of Tomorrow. And it's kind of where I kind of unpack stuff and look at it. I think this is going to be a two-part episode, so I'm going to talk for a little while, and then I'm actually going to try to turn it over to the DM and the players so they could look at the game. I thought about doing it as one, but then I said, well, they might not want to know that they're fictional characters in a fictional game playing something fictional in a world that's fictional. So that might be, you know, I gotta think of their good night's sleeps as well. So let's see, where does it all start? So Journey into the Land of Tomorrow, for those of you that are like, if you're listening now, I'm here to keep you company and put you to sleep. But if you're saying, well, I want to listen a little bit as I drift off, but I didn't listen to any of that series, or I didn't hear it. I listened. I neither listened nor heard, Scoots. Your voice was present in the same room as me, though. And I say, fair enough, that's my job. But yeah, let me give you an overview of the concept as it kind of came to me. And the concept, and as it kind of came to me, kind of ended up developing in the way I wanted it to. I mean, not without a lot of unforeseen things. And I think I already talked about this a little bit somewhere. But so right now it's March 2021 when I'm recording this. And I started recording this series in 2020 at some point. I have no idea when. Maybe late summer or something, but or fall, I don't know. But so the idea was, well, the initial idea or curiosity, it was interconnected. All the ideas were, I don't know which idea came first, but at some point I was DMing a game with family members. And I was like, huh, could this be an episode, like just one episode or something of people playing D&D? And then I said, no, it doesn't have to quite, like, I think I even recorded a little bit of one of our games. And I said, nah, that doesn't really work. Doesn't have enough, like it would be more of a parody and that's, or like, it just didn't have enough, I don't know, there to say, okay, that's a gets greenlit by Scoots. But I said, hey kid, I like your idea. So keep them coming. And they said, well, what if it was fictional? And I said, well, tell me more. And this part of me pitched me. It said, okay, so you have a fictional group of friends playing a board game. And I said, I like the idea, but I'm not quite, there's not quite enough layers there for a, like, I can't see it yet. You come back to me with more. And I'm not sure which idea came back. This is when I'm on my walks or taking a shower, you know, or sitting around when I'm trying to do something else or go to sleep. These ideas come up. And I'm not sure which of these two came up first, but it came up with two more ideas. It said, well, what if they're not playing in our world? Or I guess maybe more than two ideas. And I said, okay, like that idea. What if they're playing in a former Walt Disney World after... And it said the same theme park, like that the girl from a theme park series is set in, but at a different time, not the same time she's there, because you said you really liked that series. And I said, whoa, hold the phone there. I like what you're saying. So this would be a D&D game that doesn't exist in our world at all, any of the layers of fiction, except for the fifth edition rules. And that part of me said, yeah. So basically, they'll be in a different time. They'll be in the same world as the girl. They'll be in a non-fictional world to them, of the same non-fictional world than the girl in the theme park, the girl who was raised by a theme park or may have raised a theme park series took place. This was a series you did 3 or 4 years ago. Maybe I have no idea. And it never had a title, so it's kind of hard. I think the all-night versions are on the $10 and $20 patron feed. I'm not sure. You know, I'll try to put some of this in the notes or something. I'm not my own historian. My memories are history. That's not even meant to be a pun. That's just a fact. But it's also put it on a pillow. So I wonder if your synapses would say, yeah, your memories are history because we already passed them on. And then it took 4 microseconds, like they're 4 microseconds old by the time they get to your brain, your thinking, your consciousness. And then they're another 0.2 microseconds old before they get to your, and most people's mouths, by the time they get out of your mouth, Scoots, it's a whole second has elapsed. And I say, okay, that's a great, great to know. So anyway, back to this pitch. Okay, so these players exist in the same universe, real universe, as the girl in a theme park. Yes, but afterwards, after everything that happened, they exist in her future. Okay, because she does something important probably in their world. Yeah, so they actually have a belief system based on her. Okay, I like that. So does the game take place, like, so how do they play it, like a role-playing game, though? Oh, the role-playing game takes place in the past, in their mythological past. Okay, what do you, tell me more. So before she became the girl in the theme park, you know, there was a world that was ripe for change, that had already changed, you know, it was like our world, and then it became like their world. Okay, so let me back this up a little bit further. So if this was our timeline, we would be in the before time. No, like you said in the early episode, you're in the before time. Then this game takes place in the before time. So after your time, which is after our time, but before her time, which was before their time, which is the after time. Okay. So could we break that into like letters? So they're playing in. So the time they were playing in, let's say it's like 14. It's been thousands of years. Scoots, that's probably beyond your understanding. Okay, but the time they're playing it would be the CT current time, right? So they're playing in 14 CT. We'll just say, sure, but it's not 14 because that would be. Okay, I get that, but so 14 CT, then the girl in the theme park, she existed up until probably like 0 CT or something. Scoots, you're projecting your own belief system onto this belief system. You're right, you caught me there. Okay, so basically, they're playing the game in the future of a future of a future. Yeah, this is sleepy stuff, Scoots, it is. And in their past is the girl in the theme park. Her present is in their past, but before it was her present, it was the past. So there's a time before her. So they're playing a game set an abandoned theme park before she arrived. Right, surrounding mythological events that may have led to her existence or to the events around her existence. Okay, so that makes sense a little bit. I mean, normally games are even more, it'd be interesting because we really don't, I'm sure there are more like, yeah, so that is interesting to me. But I guess if you have a like a formal, like a theme park that's been abandoned, I mean, that's ripe for playing a role-playing game in, especially if it becomes, okay, so I like that idea. Let's make it into a series then. Okay, so how do you propose narrowing the world? Should we just brainstorm and, so this is what happened. We brainstormed, and at the same time, my daughter, like somewhere around this time, so this would have been 2020, early, mid-2020, in our time that I'm talking to you, but in your past, I guess, and somewhat of my past, my daughter and I took like a Khan Academy course or something like about Imagineering. And I came up with, we were supposed to come up with a new theme park. And I said, well, I'd rather redo Tomorrowland and Disney World. And that was also an influence to make the series because you said, oh, well, there's a contained part of Disney World. It's too big to do this in. Just like the Sword Coast is part of for the Forgotten Realms, you say, okay, which part of, okay, and then narrow it down even more to like, so he said, okay, we'll just set it just in Tomorrowland. And then it was cool because we got to like try to find some blueprints and reimagine. And I mean, of course, this is fictional, so it's not, don't hold me to it. And then I was kind of basing some of the DMing I did in real adventures and then researching and reading a lot of adventures to say, okay, how did they do that in that adventure? And then I was kind of letting go of some of the rules, but also using the rules and then also using the inner. The nice thing was with this great idea that came to me from somebody, some forgotten part of me, was that it offered a lot of layers. Because, okay, so we had this world-building possibility of the theme park, which was part of the adventure module. Then you have whatever the crisis and challenges are. And you say, okay, so it has some mystical element, because we know from A Girl with a Theme Park, and we'll put some sort of time thing on it, and they have a very clear end objective, but they have to reach, you know, they have things... There's a little Indiana Jones in there with having to get the pieces to complete their objective. So that was cool. So there was those things. And then there was like, okay, who are the characters? And then, so there's characters and then they're doing playing role playing. They're playing roles. So before the series started, I said, okay, here's the characters. And, but then I got to place the characters in this constraint where it's like, no, they're not just the characters. They're the characters playing the roles of their characters. And then also just as I was brainstorming, I don't know how this came up, but the idea of kind of starting it, because I don't know, this is one thing I learned from being a DM only briefly. And then like trying to look at stuff is like, sometimes the start of, it was better to start, in the action. Because, like, the beginning of the game, like, it's just, there's a lot of, like, to-dos and, like, information gathering and interviews. It feels like a lot, of, like, you say, how much this D&D game or even Skyrim, I say, how many interviews do I got to, what am I, running an interview podcast here or on an adventure? Like, those games, what are those called? Like, for video role-playing games. I end up like spending, whether it's the three ones I played within the last 5 years have been the cowboy one, the cowboy part one and the cowboy part two. Never finished. I don't think I finished part two because it left the Game Pass. Then Skyrim, maybe one or two others. Spaceable, whatever that recent one was in the last 2 years as popular. And then the outing of the, when the sky, like Skyfall, Fallen Out. But I always end up just walking around the countryside, Because he said, well, if I go to a town, I got to do all these interviews and go open doors. Anyway, so I said, okay, let's start it. And I said, that'll make sense. Because as I tried to, like, one thing I learned the very hard way, way, way back, and I retested out the theory, is that you have to have a limited number. It's not a matter of, like, character voices or characters. It's, like, stakeholders. Like, because when I did Superdoll, that was our largest cast. And because it was superheroes, they kind of all had an equal stake. They were all stakeholders in each episode that they were all in. And I found that to be too many stakeholders. Like, so I said, okay, how can we keep this with a limited, like, a manageable amount of stakeholders, like characters or active characters or whatever you want to call it? Because if you have too many active characters, it just does, it's not, doesn't go, it just becomes too much to handle, especially like for a sleep podcast. So then I said, okay, probably four is probably the best, like, number. And I can remember, yeah, I can remember, like, in October, I think we were already recording these, or September, like, being like, okay, this works. Because then I said, okay, well, one character could have a sidekick, then maybe the DM has to play one of the characters. It's not 100% clear if it's, because then we start to think about the types of characters and the people playing them. And then it also was like the mechanism of the game, role-playing game, is like, okay, the cool thing is that they, if you have the right, like, we got the right balance of stakeholders to have, like, personal conflict or interpersonal conflict. And when I say that, it sounds like sometimes it could fall on the ears the wrong way. It just means that not everything is in consensus or 100% agreement all the time. And, like, obviously, all of us know consensus building is not easy. And that's, like, kind of, at least from my brief time, it's like, unless you have a real dominant person, like in a game, which we didn't have, the players, it's better if everybody's a stakeholder and you build consensus when you can. But at the same time, every round is going to have a different level of where the people are at when they get to sit down to play the game. So I said, okay, those offer a lot of opportunities for meanders, for like going and like taking, like for zooming in and zooming back out, for speeches. I mean, you want to talk about consensus building, it's great for a sleep podcast. You say, well, I'd like you to hear my point of view now. And you say, okay. And that could always, you can always kind of like dial those in and out. You say, well, this one they're going to agree on. Seems pretty obvious. This one, I don't know if they're, and then you say, okay, and then how are the real people playing the game influencing, right? Like sometimes you're not going to want to build consensus because you're, or the DM might say, well, I'm going to make, like, you know, we're human beings, or this idea is like, it's not making it realistic. It's making it relatable. So I don't know. Those all offered opportunities. And then it was like managing the different parts of the adventure, which was fun from like a world building perspective, a writing perspective of like taking what was there. I mean, I guess I could close out with like just imagining. So I did try to imagine how would they redo Tomorrowland and Disney World realistically, if they were really going to redo it in this current, like in you know, in the, what do we call this, 2020s or whatever? Because you'd say, okay, like a lot of times the reboots have been all or nothing, right? They said, okay, we're going to do this vision of the future or this vision of the future. So my idea was this is all like it's a celebration, like it was like a role-playing world. I don't know if this came across because I didn't have a total number of amount of time. But like the idea would be that it's a Tomorrowland that's a role-playing place. So the Tomorrowland is people playing role, like, let's see if I can explain it. Like, the idea is that that area of the park becomes a place to celebrate different visions of tomorrow. And maybe it's in the future too, like, wink, wink. Like, and so there's like Streetmosphere players, like, playing people like playing a role, celebrating, or are they? Like that part could become more gray, like you say. Okay, these are the people that love the Victorian steampunk future, and they have a pavilion dedicated to it, and they're even like trying to get you to come or get you to eat their snacks, have the steam-driven corn or whatever. And then, there's a corporate dystopia, there's the anti-dystopia, you know, and that it would be, like, each attraction, and then the Progress Tower was like, oh, this is kind of the Disney-esque, ultra-modern version of the future. Space Mountain would be kind of rethemed to a funky, fun future. I didn't get to the other side of the park, because it definitely, they're making that Tron ride, and then the Autopia, you'd have to redo those somehow. But I also thought about it, this one, they would use the characters from Carousel Progress would be part of the queue for these different things. And that would have been the new big thing they would build. It's like a hotel with three attractions built into it. So you'd finally get a hotel in the theme park, super expensive probably, but you know, that's how they build that stuff anyway. And I thought that would just be interesting also that it's like, oh, they never got this. This was a reboot of the Tomorrowland that the future passed by. They didn't even finish re-theming it before times changed and theme parks were no longer a thing. So, yeah, I think that's it for me. I'm going to turn it over to the game players and see what their thoughts are and stuff. But, yeah, appreciate you listening to the season so far. Thanks. All right, everybody, come on. Let's sit down because I have this scheduled. I have our time scheduled a little differently this week. So to do a debrief, and I just wanted to say up front, I really appreciate everybody's involvement with this game, your patience with me. This is my first time DMing. Your enthusiasm really came through in a way that felt authentic to me, but maybe, you know, I want to do a debrief to just talk about how it went for everybody, and hopefully we could play and, you know, do another campaign one day soon. But I really enjoyed it. I really feel like my connection to her is stronger now. And thinking about, I don't know, I really have been doing a lot of thinking. I know interpersonally this game, it offered us a lot of chances for development, or at least I did, because I felt challenged at times. And there were times I had to go and talk to some people outside of the game and say, hey, what do you think I should do about this? And they said, well, isn't the game supposed to be fun? Did you forget you're supposed to have fun and the players are supposed to? And I say, oh, yeah, you're right. I forgot about that. And all the prep and stuff. So I just wanted to take a few minutes and then, you know, we won't go our separate ways. I hope we're going to go do something, right? So that should be fun. So thanks, everybody. I don't know if anybody wants to take, go ahead. Should we stay in roles or how do you feel? This is Eleanor. I'm happy to stay as Eleanor. So I kind of am processing where we're at, because I think as characters, we could have the interpersonal thing, you know, in our where we go out private, you know, where we go out together as a group. And this could be the debrief for the game and the play, the characters maybe. You know, I'm sitting here and I've been thinking about Wada and Darmok and, especially with my newfound, I appreciate what you said, because my newfound connection to the three Florences and hearing and then starting to study some of Dharma, Granat of Dharma believed is, I feel like I have a new level, because the three Florences are not intimidated by the idea of my belief system expanding. And so, yeah, I mean, I would say that Shaka, when the walls fell, I think about Tanagra now, but, so that's one thing, is thinking about how and then Wada being in another magical realm and already having a friend, at least, with the CC and the Steam Beings. You know, as a player, I'm comfortable with what happened with the Wizards. They had a... They seemed to have been too tempted by the access to a magical realm, to another world, that, you know, they stepped too far, clearly, you know, out of their lane. And I believe that they were up to something, and they were going to try to take the staff from us and use it to try to control the portal, which would have failed. I think now, with the remaining members of our party, we have to decide... Like, at least even in the interim, like, I've thought about it, and I'm happy to discuss it with Zell and Lord Von Chill, where we're going to store. I think we should put the gem somewhere, and I have an opinion about it. Maybe we discussed it last week. In that then we should dedicate ourselves to exploring as adventurers in the idea of keeping the gem safe. We don't know if the portal could ever be broken out of the gem. But I think that's what I see our role as, exploring, learning to live together or separately, because we really haven't figured that out. And we had these discussions, Lord Von Chill, you know, really impacted me, of saying, well, what if we put aside our notions of what relationships should be, or even what we feel inside, and say, well, like, what does that mean, that expanded idea, especially now that it is the three of us, like, what is it, what would the three of us look like in a comfortable way? In this world, I mean, just in this world, like, where would we keep moving? Would we camp? Would we establish our own homesteads? I think we should probably each establish our own private area for retreat and rest at times. But those are my thoughts. Oh, as far as, you know, with those thoughts being, if this adventure was only a pastime, like, years from now, when I look back at this adventure with the perspective of my entire lifetime, I would say this was a very enjoyable adventure that I was surprised at every turn, because this was something I just hadn't been on before. It was we got to go in those handy halls. I lost my link to the Florences. I never knew that could even happen. I mean, I knew I could have some distance from them, but I was able to reconnect with the three Florences and, you know, get my connection to their, you know, spiritual power back. And, you know, I'm interested to see what the rest of this theme park is like. And that my understanding is it's very large, like the size of a large city as far as the land goes. So I guess those are my thoughts. Lord Von Chill, you seem to be looking and thinking too. Yes, thank you, Eleanor. You know, I'm still quiet and subdued because, you know, I'm still coming to terms with this is where we'll be. And I think, and I've learned a lot from Zell and Eleanor and even Watt and Granada of Darmok, and the forces that drove this adventure have taught me many things. And it is this idea of what I wanted and how I thought, you know, as Lord Von Chill, my manor, my estate, all the more things I could achieve in my lifetime, my legacy, my family's legacy, all those things are now not an option, seemingly. And will anyone know the and I guess it's not important to me, that actually is soothing. I say, will anyone know, you know, what we did here? Probably, maybe not, and maybe that's okay. And is this I've been set out on what could be more adventuring than an unexpected adventure? So in some sense, I'm thrilled But, and you know, I'm also not thrilled, you know, at the same time. So, you know, I need to come to terms with that. Losing, of course, Granada Vdarmak, not a sidekick to me. Like, much more deeper than that. And you know, like I lost part of myself, which I guess, and then I say, well, this is a new beginning for me. And many, many way more ways than one, I'm wondering what it'll be like. I feel like a child again. And I say, well, maybe I could be grateful for that opportunity. And then think about WADA and CC and was any of that real? I also have this ominous feeling, you know, when we looked out at that tower, technically, I guess that tower is outside, not just of this immediate theme park within a theme park complex. It may be outside, like, is that sealed off or not? And I know we've speculated about it and we're not sure. And when we look out on the horizon, that maybe there's even another tower further in the distance. So I'd like to adventure there, and I'd like to check out the boundaries of our territory. Maybe we could do that first, maybe not. I don't know if we could talk about that, or maybe have a time of, you know, solitude and retreat, as you pointed out in some sense, Eleanor. So those are my immediate thoughts. I'm proud to be associated with the two of you and our other companions. And yeah, looking back, I've never been on an adventure, you know, like I've never been on an adventure like this. You know, Eleanor, you weren't there for the first part where the adventure already became unexpected. You know, we went to the town outside of the theme park, the last remnants of, you know, like where we could get supplies and gather information. And you weren't here for that. And then our journey into the park, it was another week. And those were where we started to lose. We lost some players there, or adventurers. And I think part of it was this was a new experience for the person behind the scenes, the wizard of behind the scenes with this adventure. Some people just weren't willing to let somebody grow. But I mean, I think it was also maybe who said, well, if you're not here to have fun, then maybe you shouldn't be here. If you're not here for an adventure, what are you here for? And so then you joined our party, Eleanor, and I'm very grateful for that. And, you know, we haven't had too many direct challenges, but some indirect ones. And, you know, I'm still trying to come to an understanding of what it means to be a Florentian nurse and live under the three Florences. Some of it sounds very intriguing to me. So I hope to learn more over time. And I guess I look back at our adventure. We say, okay, so we started out when Eleanor joined us. And the venture felt small, you know. We were just checking out that one building, and we talked to that robot thingamajig, the curry bot, and then we had to get rid of those plush gators, and then we had to deal with Skippy and that other that big animatronic, and that wasn't, you know, we really grew our skills. And then we went into the steam, we got some rest with the steam genie. And we saw the steam giant would come back in our adventure. We never saw the steam genie again. Or did we find any parts of the steam genie? I can't remember. That was quite an adventure as well. And then heading into Buzz Tomorrow and the Emperor and the little green people and we're going through that, and then that was when we started to have some, it was like the part way in, were we fully in the adventure? Because, you know, you lost your power, Zell lost her trust in WADA, understandably, Zell, you know. And then we got through that one, and we went into, but there was some close ones in there, right? Because you couldn't even heal us. We're in the handy halls. Maybe we could, is there, I wonder if there's more handy halls we could check out. But I don't want us to get distracted, but that's cool. We danced with those animatronics. We met a lot of great animatronics. Then we left there, and that's when the steam giant was in a new place. Or I don't, can't remember. Then we snuck around, and then we met that family, the Carousel of Tomorrow family. And some of them worked with us, and some of them did not. And we went up to Progress Tower. That was another, it wasn't even our main adventure, but we had to deal with that. That was another wizard up to troublemaking for us. I wonder if that wizard was associated with the other wizards or not. Then we, because of Wada, that was the first time in any adventure I'd ever been transported, like where we all fell asleep and then we got moved. And I said, wow, they should do that more often. And so I really liked that because that was surprising. And it was a little bit different having the DM play a character that was nearly a main character, but I think, wow, was Wada fully fleshed out, mostly. I mean, it was good that Wada was quiet, but I could feel the looks on Wada's face a lot of times, especially when Wada was focusing on magic. So, yeah, there's those things. Then we got out of Progress Tower. Then we were trying to figure out the steam giant. Then, now this is the one that kind of sticks with me and says, this is going to be quite the adventure, because those beings we dealt with, and the veteran and those other beings, that was a challenge, a pretty big challenge, right? And we had to get through that. But they were saying they were part of another group, and they were supposed to go, and they had those flares that we still have with us somewhere. So I have a feeling that, resting easy will not be, that we should be aware, but not, not this is a large park, and I think we have some advantages. I agree that I guess we should come up with a general plan for rest for now. In a what's next, but our current what's next is to figure out how are we going to best protect that gem, and what shall we do for that? And then, how shall we live? We'll be discovering each day at a time. But overall, I can't. And then, and then we met those dance. I wish I would have seen that attraction with the dancing goof, teaching, peace through dance. And I guess I'm ready for a new start. And like I said, maybe things don't go the way I want them to or expect them to. But maybe that's part of my adventure, is saying, well, can you be okay with that? But I'd also ask that if I'm taking risks, that other people take a risk to say, well, let's just see what's, let's find our comfort zone, but let's find the edges of our comfort zone too, as we relate to one another. So that's, I guess that's all I have to, wow, what a time. I'm so happy. Zell, what do you have to say about things? You've been our leader, and not a leader by attitude, but a leader in you led by leading. We probably already said that. Go ahead, Zell. Well, thank you. Yeah, I mean, I think I can't say much more. I have to be honest, maybe I don't have the space right now for Wada and Granada because of, I think what you both have pointed out is, what are we going to do? And I have an idea, so I guess I'll run my plan by both of you, because I think separating the staff, bank into two pieces and then taking the gem should be our primary purpose. But I think we already have the conditions for that. We have the whatever it was called, the Space Mountain Dance Off or whatever. You know, up on top there are those poles that already had lights for flying things. I was thinking we could put the gem, I'm pretty sure we could put the gem inside of one of those lights up on the top. And I say that for a few reasons. I think that building is already still, and I think we could probably talk to the guardians of that building that will be there. We could see if we could get that wizard back, because that wizard left, but where did that wizard go? So that's one thing. And if the wizard's sworn to protect magic at all costs, and the spectators and the other floaty floats, and then, you know, maybe we'll have to learn some of Granada's skills to reinforce some things. And if we could teach that wizard to use the flares or set some kind of thing up with the flares or something like that, then wherever we are, like if something somehow knew, like there's not really a chance of that, but if something knew that the gem was there, then we would know that they're going there and we could get back. But it'd be really hard to get to and really unlikely to say, well, let me go on this. I mean, I can see someone saying, let's go on top of that mountain. So we'd have to go, like, but as opposed to hiding it somewhere else, that's somewhere, hiding it in plain sight, but hiding it somewhere where we could most of the time know. Like, maybe there's even something we could do that it's like, oh, we noticed something changed up there. Even if it's flags or something flying that someone would probably disturb if they were disturbing things. We don't want to call attention to it, though, either. But that's what I would think, is that if it was up there in a fairly protected building anyway that we could reinforce and keep people out of. I mean, the steam giant's still functioning, too. So the steam giant could, we can probably repair the steam giant, maybe. And, yeah, then that's kind of part of our mission. So that's one thing. And then I agree. I agree with Lord Von Chill that, and Eleanor, maybe we take some time, you know, we rest, we have separate areas of rest and retreat. We can work in shifts and together, but we also have a together space inside of Disco Space Mountain or whatever it was called. And, you know, as we're working, you know, we're also taking time to recover from this, you know, quite an intense adventure we were on. And we're trying to figure out our relationship between the three of us, which will take some figuring out. You know, how do we keep this adventure? Will we encounter anyone else that adventures with us? But I think resting and then exploring the boundaries is probably a good idea, because then we kind of know what we're dealing with. That could take quite some time. So we'll have to come up, but then we could start, you know, we could find as much map material that exists and use that and really do some mapping. So I think that would be important. I mean, the other big question is, and this is why I'm trying to stay open-minded, is, okay, we do have that other party, and there may be other parties or other wizards here. So we should keep that in mind, but also this, like the effects of the portal that we've already witnessed, like how much of that was portal open specific versus how much of it leaked into the park and became part of the park. Also, I'm having an experience of the steam spirits being, even though we can't see them. I don't know if anybody else is having this experience, or maybe I'm the only one feeling it, of like that they are like childlike, and that maybe the protectiveness of the portal for the two of you is like infantile is the wrong word. Childlike doesn't quite answer it either. Yeah, Zell, this is Eleanor. I'm having the same experience. I just couldn't put it to words. I was feeling it. Lord Von Chill, I know what you mean. I guess I was feeling protective like that, like stepping in front of someone and saying, whoa, you know, stand behind me because I could be in the way. So maybe that's another part of our adventure, our mission is, but it was also something we need to learn more about. Yeah, I think it's something we could learn more about. Maybe we could find a way to communicate. I don't know, can we or not? I'm asking that out loud in case the steam beings wanted to answer us, or but they haven't. I mean, overall, I'm really impressed because, in my opinion, the adventure has allowed us to become us as a party and as individual adventurers. And when I look at the progression of our characters, while we could have progressed more, but the challenges created challenges within our party, which I think is really impressive. And when you think about our individual backstories, I think we've all, I mean, Lord Von Chill, and I mean, holy moly, your entire backstory. But even mine of I had goals as a person to take what I had earned adventuring and open, you know, I had these hopes and dreams too. You know, and I mean, and more vague ones of just adventuring and, you know, bringing justice and equality and dignity and respect to communities. But so it's like, okay, well, maybe some of those broader values could take place here. But to have an adventure that, and then Eleanor, I feel like we're still getting to know you. And then, yeah, like Granada's influence on all of us and Wada's influence. I think it was a good adventure. And then, I think there was times I didn't have fun, but maybe that was also, or times I was impatient and thinking, you know, thinking, and then, like I said, we'll have to explore how we're all going to get through this. I'm looking forward to our next adventure, but also our adventure as a group. And that just doesn't include a group of three. Like, it includes a group of four friends, whatever the other interpersonal relationships might be. A group of four friends that have gotten to, that have just started out on the journey of friendship together and started to see one another in a way that says, hey, wow, you really put a lot of work into this adventure. Wow, you really you gave up a lot. And maybe it was part of the story and you didn't have a choice, but you did have a choice. So I don't know. I'm happy, and I'm happy to be with all of you and happy to hang out. Now we're going to go out dancing. I can't believe the DM, some breaking character, I guess. But I think I love the idea that we're going to go out dancing together. So this place weighs 70. It has each 30 minutes. It changes kind of themes. So we will be dance and goof. And I can't wait to would everybody bring something to change it? Great. So we'll change into stuff. And we'll have peace and depth of our relationships through dance. So I'm really excited. I'm really appreciative. Maybe we could all lie down though and just close our eyes and rest before we go out dancing. And just get comfortable and say, okay. And embracing one another in the spirit of friendship and kindness, love and dignity and respect. And say, you know, Temba and Shaka, when the walls fell. Jalad and everything that I can't quite remember. Let's rest. All right, I want to thank everybody that reviewed the show on Apple Podcasts recently. Pixel Burner from Australia says, try it more than once. Podcast is great. I've never stayed awake through the whole thing. Very effective. There's a couple, sometimes there's reviews. I think it's more about the dignity and respect of the podcast. But this is a reviewer that helps to say, what all this is talking, 1 star. Then Sable says, works wonders for me. If you're the kind of person that likes falling asleep to TV, shows you've watched a lot, this is a perfect podcast to have in the background and put your mind at ease. I'd say give the episode a few tries at least to help me get help me a ton get back to sleep when I wake up early. I just lean over on my phone and rest for a few minutes. Then King does not like that there's the ads again, but it's just, I mean, that's just how we keep the show free for everybody. And then this is another one that says, thanks, no thanks, 1 star. Jennifer LD from Australia says, can't sleep without it. Started listening 7 years ago, and first time I tried it, I didn't sleep, and I didn't like it, but I came back a while later, gave it another chance. Now I can't sleep without it. I've been a Patreon supporter for years. Best money I spend on my health. There are other less odd sleep assistance podcasts out there, but this is the one that works for me. Then Astra Sleeps says, no problem sleeping, 4 stars. I listened to it for years now. Most of the time I fall asleep in 20 minutes. The times I don't fall asleep is either because I can't relax, nothing to do with the podcast, or, you know, not every episode works for everybody. And sometimes they skip to the middle, or they normally skip to the middle and set a timer so they don't get woken up by the next episode. Great strategy, like set it at 20 or 30 minutes and then set a sleep timer for 30 minutes. And they don't like the ads, but again, I don't know, like, there's not much I can do about that. And it's not just a matter of the ads just have to be in there. Like, I guess, like, we're talking about this at the end of the show, but I understand, yeah, in a perfect episode, the podcast would be free and it would have no ads, but that's just not possible. And it's not possible. The sponsors want place ads is where the majority of listeners are awake. And I mean, the sponsors paying for people to hear the ads. It's not underwriting where they don't care if anybody hears it or not. And I mean, that's tough. Like, it's tough making a sleep podcast, believe me, and keeping it free. But that's the best compromise I could come up with, other than, you know, I talk about this a lot. I mean, the good news is that because people are hearing the ads, and it's like, I mean, so this is like the last 18 months has been the only time we've really had a big, like, success with the ads. So anyway, I got to get moving here. Magpie says, fall asleep smiling. NYC Jen says, just perfect. And then C-Fry says, love sleep with me. So thanks, everybody. Sleeping Me does exist. A free package can be able to support the show directly on Patreon or support the sponsors. And we grow this podcast by people spreading the word. So sharing it with somebody is a huge help. And I'm going to tell you about our referral program here. Thanks. All right, everybody, Scoots here. I'm doing our month in review on Sleep With Me Plus, which is similar, if you're still listening on Patreon, if you could think about moving over, but it's going to be similar to what you would have seen there this month. And as far as the ad-free episodes, a lot of them are coming out in the ad-supported feed that you all listen to as well. I got to find the right podcast app. So I was also buying time because, so on Sleep With Me Plus, one of the main differences, everything is separated out into its own feeds. So there's 4 different podcasts. I'm going to start with the bonus episode podcast. So it just has bonus shows. And on March 2nd, a mayor tour, Welcome to Scooterville, a posty special edition super deluxe episode came out. These are really cool. They come out on a couple Saturdays a month. And these are something that's just really important, been really important to me. Ideally down the road, we'll have budget to do more, or somebody else even do a version 2. But it's basically Chris Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful takes an episode of Sleep With Me and reimagines it in a sense, which that's pretty much it. Like, that's all the instructions for Chris. Hey, take an episode, reimagine it. But this year, Chris has been doing this for years. So in the bonus feed is years and years and years of this. As a matter of fact, in the bonus feed I'm looking at, there's 377 episodes. I think that's in the Boar Besties feed. But so right now in 2020. Is that what year it is? Chris is doing this Scooterville series. So definitely worth checking out if you're like, love Sleep With Me, you're looking for something like a little bit different with some sound design, you want to listen to it during the day, or a lot of people, when they start to support the show and they discover these, this is what they sleep to because everybody's a little bit different. What else we got in this feed? Audio news, Scooterville, oh, Contact, TNG Contact Part 2 came out since I think we last recorded this. And then a Fearless Flyer episode is about to come out. I think it may be this week, the February Fearless Flyer episode. Okay, then Boar Besties and Boar Friends also get a feed with All Intro and All Night shows. So Thursday night, All Intro episode came out. Weird, the All Night episode, I might have archived it, but Big Farm in the Sky, P.I., huh, I guess there's an all-night episode that's going to come out or should be in this feed that is, so doesn't seem to be there. So this is good. I'm checking this. This is live quality control. Maybe it's in another feed. I put it in the wrong feed. But yeah, not sure which one it is either. So I'll have to look into that. So that's interesting. Okay, then you get a feed with ad-free full episodes. And so they don't have any, they don't have the supporter zone. They don't have the sponsor stuff. They don't have the mystery bard music or the thank yous at the end, but they are something that, because you can listen to that in the ad supported version, right? But so let's see, episode 1245 came out Sunday. That was Great British Bake Off episode 8. Multiplex episode 3 came out. Hickory Dickory Farms. Ren Faire with Ray came out March 3rd, 1243. 1242 Bake Off episode 7 came out. February 25th, Multiplex episode 2 came out. Julius J. Juice. What else we got? 1240 Apple Cider Redo. That was Trader Joe's a Shop and Cook episode. Big retraction in that one. You know, retracted my opinion on apple cider donuts from Trader Joe's. So, yeah, and then the audio news. And then in story only, we had, C12, the same thing. Everything comes out on Sleep With Me Plus. This is so cool. There's something we only have been able to do since we moved to a new platform. Is we're able to put out the story only episodes and the full episodes on the same day because they're in separate podcasts. We couldn't do that on the old platform because everything would just been too clogged up and it would just been too confusing for a large number of people. So now, yeah, story only, there's like a lot of story only fans and yeah, they got the same thing. Great British Bake Off 8, Multiplex 3, Ren Faire with Ray, Great British 7, Multiplex 2, Trader Joe's Shop and Cook, Apple Cider, Dessert Week, Great British Bake Off, whatever, Episode 6, Multiplex 1, Wandering Towers, Board Game Unboxing. So yeah, that's everything that came out this week. I don't have my calendar in front of me. I've been working really hard at the planning calendar, and we got some exciting stuff coming up to sleep to. That's so exciting, you don't need to listen to it. What do we have? Multiplex 7 I recorded yesterday. Started writing Multiplex 8 today. These are a couple months away, but the Guild, the web series of the Guild, did the part of season 1 of that, and we're definitely going to do season 1 of that and probably season 2, maybe go on. I don't know. Maybe do season 1 and season 2 and take a break. Those will be coming out late spring, early summer. I came up with two new ideas for random Tuesday episodes, one with pillow, like other plush friends, a pillow pet, and then another one that would be called the Marble Vagabond. And those were episode ideas that came out of intros. Neither of those has been recorded, though. Those intros were recorded. The Marble Vagabond intro will be in part two of our coverage of the movie Bring It On. What else have we recorded? We did in the last month, we did an episode called Willy Wonka Interactive Experience, Immersive Adventure, which I was really happy with. And that's going to be a new genre of Sleep With Me style show of like poorly run immersive experiences, like the one like that kind of what got a lot of press. And we got to work on the audio for something very similar, but it was called the Willy Wonka Experience. Also not a very high budget experience, but at least it had audio from Scoots or a narrator like Scoots. So that'll come out late spring, early summer. And then our crossover series, we got three episodes done, episode 2, 3, and 4 from season 1. So that'll be coming out this spring too and summer. So yeah, that's everything right now. And thanks so much. If you're listening, it's a free feed. It'd be great if you think about supporting the show at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. This enables us to do everything we do, and those of you that support the sponsors, we also really count on those of you that just spread the word about the show. So thank you for doing that. And that's it. Good night, everybody.